of Matthew, chapter 28. And I'll try to be brief so we can get out. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 5. Then I'm going to read in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 3. Matthew 28, number 5 says, "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. To whom also he showed himself," Acts chapter 1, verse number 3, "to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." I'm going to preach to us this morning. We're going to pray the infallible proof of the resurrected Christ. Father, thank you this morning for your blessings on us. Lord, oh, what an honor this morning and what a privilege that it is to lift the lids of this great holy book and declare the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for letting us believe this morning the power of prayer and the power of the resurrection. Help us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name this morning. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me begin this morning by looking at the Word of God. When we look at it, there are some things that must be proved. If it's infallible proofs, there must be some tests in which that it will pass. For it to be infallible proofs means that the proofs are undeniable and unmistakable. The truth. So I want to go back and look into the gospel just a little bit. And let's look at the Jesus proposing, amen, the things that were going to come to pass. Now, you understand this morning that when things are done in secret, amen, it's hard to find the proof. But when the prophecy's there and the proof is there that it's going to happen. So let's look at the book of John, chapter 2, and verse number 18. First of all, this morning, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and thou wilt rear it up in 3 days. But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." And so I want to look this morning at 6 times in the gospels that Jesus mentions that he's going to die. And the first time here is as he stands and talking to the Jews, and they're asking him a sign. We want to see a sign that thou art the Christ. We want to see a sign that you are the Messiah. And he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." Amen. That is going to be the sign. They thought he was talking about the temple that they had spent 46 years, amen, building, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days. They didn't understand that he was talking about this body. I'm going to be killed, but in 3 days I'll raise it up again. If we go on down to the book of Matthew, he is now in Galilee. And then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered
answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And they said, but we don't understand. How can this thing be? It is another prophecy of the death. And to his disciples he recorded, it is recorded in Matthew and Mark and Luke, amen, that Jesus said from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. And then Matthew 17 and 22, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceedingly sorry. And then John chapter 10, in verse 18, and Jesus said, No man taketh it from me, but I lay down my life of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. And this commandment have I received of my Father. And there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, amen, took the 12 disciples apart in a way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and they shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. When you read this again, and as I read yesterday and studied, and again this morning, you cannot read the story again of the crucifixion without there being a joy in your heart that on that Easter Sunday morning, the very first day of the week, that the tomb was empty. It was prophesied by Christ that he must suffer and he must die. Amen. When you look this morning and you realize that it was for you, it was for me that he gave his life. Amen. That who were Gentiles, that we can have a right to sit this morning. Amen. Under a beautiful sky, in a beautiful sanctuary, and sing about the cross, and sing about him dying. But thank God he didn't stay dead. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples, No man takes my life, but I'm going to give it to you. When you look at this morning, and you realize what great power was in the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. No man has the power to take it, but I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And the Jews said, How can this thing be? I was telling the children in class the other day, when we were kind of dealing with the Trinity a little bit, you know, it makes common sense. Think about it for a minute. There's no way that Jesus Christ could have come to this world and died, amen, and left heaven vacant. Come on now, God didn't do that. Amen, but Jesus came to this earth, and he gave his life, and he died. Amen, but I want you to know the Father, amen, still had everything in control. Amen, the Father, amen, raised him again on the third day. It was the power of Jesus Christ to lay down his life, but the power also to take it up again and to come out of the grave. And Jesus said, This commandment I received of my Father. My Father told me I could do that. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. What a wonderful promise. Hey, what a thrill this morning to know they had the power to lay it down, but he had the power to pick it up. All right, that's the test now. Hey, man, you must have tests. And so we've gone through six scriptures, amen, where Jesus has told them, amen, of things. Jonas is 3 days and nights in the well. Amen, I'm going to be 3 days and nights in the earth. Amen, but as Jonah got out, I'm going to get out. Amen, we read about the test now. Amen, so now we want to know about testimonies. Amen, what in the world then? Not only do we have tests, amen, but we've got the testimonies, amen, of the ordinance. Amen, the very first thing that we have, and what we call ordinances, they are things that we do. Amen, we do them because they are the law. Amen, you know, we built this church according to the laws, amen, of Oklahoma City. They told us what kind of doorknobs to put on. Amen, they told us a lot of things that we had to do. It was because they were ordinances. Amen. So let's look at the ordinances of Jesus Christ. Amen. The very first one of them, amen, was the institution of baptism. Amen. Do you understand that baptism, amen, that when Jesus went to John, who was baptizing in the river of Jordan, and he said unto John, I need to be baptized of you. And John said, not so. But Jesus said, suffer it to be so. It has to be this way. There has to be an example. And so, Brother Melvin, even before he went to the cross, it was at that institution of baptism where Jesus Christ was buried in the water. But he didn't stay under the water, but he rose again. And the institution of baptism signified nothing more than the death and the burial, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ.